An update on robotic approaches to thoracic surgery presented by Kazuhiro Yasufuku, Associate Professor at the University of Toronto Faculty of Medicine, Division of Thoracic Surgery, Department of Surgery. Dr. Yasufuku spoke at the 2015 Toronto Thoracic Refresher, sponsored by the University of Toronto Faculty of Medicine. Dr. Yasufuku?
When you look at the robotic platforms, currently, it's the Da Vinci system that is produced by Intuitive Surgical. And the first standard Da Vinci came out in 1999. It was mainly for cardiac procedures, but then the radiologists figured out that you can use it for a prostatectomy. In 2006, the Da Vinci S system came out. And more recently, 2009, the SI system came out. And as these new devices have come out, there has been improvement in the consoles and actually the robot. The most recent advance is the XI system, which is unfortunately not available in Canada yet, but there has been significant improvements. Looking at roughly how many systems are available, there is a wide range of differences between the countries. In the US, over 2,000 robots are available. And when you compare it to the US, in Canada, there's only 28 systems available. There are lots of systems in Asia. When you look at the breakdown in Canada, there's only 3% of the robots being used for thoracic surgery, and it's really dominated by the urologist, which is kind of true at Toronto General Hospital, followed by the gyne-oncs, and followed by thoracic surgery. But when you look at the 10 top robotic procedures in the last 10 years, lobectomy is number 9, so I think we're getting there. This is the typical setup of a robotic lobectomy, and it looks like a big robot surrounding the patient. But when you actually look at each ports, they're actually very small, typically smaller than a VATS port. Difference between the VATS procedure is that the instruments do not go in and out of the port. Once you dock the robot, we can pretty much complete the surgery without too many in and outs of the instruments. And just to explain about the approach, this is the approach that I've been doing, and I learned this from Dr. Cerfolio. We use 4 arms. I know Tom uses 3 arms, but I typically use 4 arms. 1 arm is for the camera, and then 3 other arms are for the robotic instruments. And I'll always need an assistant port. This is where your surgical assistant will be by the patient, and this is where the staplers and other instruments are placed. Left side, pretty much similar. The only difference is where you put the arm 3. The port placement is actually a very important part of this, and we typically count the intercostal space. I usually start out by placing the most anterior port position, and this is usually at the 6th intercostal space. You need at least 9 centimeters between each ports. And I usually place the other ports in the 7th intercostal space. So what I'm doing is just marking the 7th intercostal space. And because I'm Japanese, I like to measure things. So I use the measure and I take 9 centimeters between the ports. And this is a very small, tiny Asian patient. And even in a small patient, if you really place it correctly, you can actually use the 4 ports. So I define the posterior port, then I have pretty much marked all of the ports, the posterior port for arm 2, the camera port, and arm 1. And then after I place the ports, then I decide where the assistant port comes in. And usually you want to make a triangle between arm 1 and the camera port so that the camera and the robotic arm does not get in the way of the surgical fellows. And now if you put this very close to the camera port or the arm 1, you'll end up with a challenge of placing your staplers for the assistants to place in other instruments. So we try to usually make a triangle from these ports, usually around the 9th intercostal space. Once we intubate the patient, we position the patient on the table. And this is the way that we do it. We actually move the bed inside of the room so that we don't actually have to move the robot around. So we place the bed so that the robot can come in straight into the patient. There are several things that we take care of. For instance, the anesthetic tubing has to be long. The A-line tubing has to be long. So we kind of place everything in one bundle so that it doesn't get in the way. After we're done with that, the robot is going to come in. So we don't really have to move the robot. The nurses can just move the robot straight into the patient. I'm just placing this VATS forceps so that they have an idea where to go. The new XI system has a sensor so that we don't have to do that, and the robot can come in right where you want to. After you bring the robot in, then you start placing your robot arm onto the port. So in this case, we'll be attaching four arms onto the different ports. This is a robotic right upper lobectomy. Typically, I start out with the subcarinal lymph node dissection. So this is the upper lobe, lower lobe, and this is the subcarinal space. And what I found, being a VATS surgeon, is that the lymph node dissection can be done very dry, and really a complete nodal dissection is possible, I think, more than VATS. After we take the subcarinal lymph node out, we take down the pulmonary ligament. In this case, this is a right upper lobe, so typically do this for the lymph node dissection. So after we free that, we turn the lung posteriorly, and we start out with our hilar dissection. And this is the suprapulmonary vein. You see a couple of lymph nodes stationed at 10, which we will completely resect. The difference between VATS is that the surgeon controls the camera, so you always have a perfect view. See how I'm moving the camera, and you don't have to rely on your assistant to move the camera. What arm three is doing right now is pulling the lung to expose the lung. We're just checking to make sure that we're doing the right thing, confirming this is the upper lobe and the middle lobe and the lower lobe. So we'll continue the dissection, taking out the lymph nodes. Now you'll start seeing the pulmonary artery, and usually I dissect out all of the lymph nodes before firing and stapling all of the vessels. This is another device, which is called a bipolar fenestrated. And when you encircle the vessels, I tend to use this because the tip is more blunt. Then I'm going to go around the upper lobe vein. I usually use a little vessel loop to encircle the vessel. Actually, I use this vessel loop and the little cigars or roll to align the vessel so that the assistant can come straight in with the stapler. With this, you can pretty much staple most of the vessels in the bronchus without any difficulty. So then the assistant will come in with a stapler and take the vessel. So this is kind of how the lobectomy is done. So there is still limited amount of data on the role of robotic surgery for lung cancer, but this is one of the largest retrospective review of robotic lobectomy for lung cancer cases. This was published by Dr. Park. Majority of the 325 cases were stage one lung cancer. The conversion rate was 8%, morbidity 25%, very low mortality rate. And what's important is the overall five-year survival of 80%, 91% for stage 1A and 88% for stage 1B and 49% for stage 2, which is pretty much similar to our historical numbers. Dr. Sofolio looked at his data and did a percent propensity match comparison to a thoracotomy in 106 patients and 318 patients. In this study, there was no difference in the morbidity mortality, that there was a difference in the mental quality of life with the robotics being better than thoracotomy. There is increasing number of robotic lobectomies being performed in the U.S., as you can see the numbers of robotic platform available. And this is looking at open versus VATS versus robotic lobectomy, and it was a propensity match analysis to compare the outcomes. And the results show that you see a trend of thoracotomies decreasing, but there is a trend of robotic surgeries increasing over the time. When you look at the mortality, length of stay, overall survival, there is a significant reduction in mortality, length of stay, and overall survival when robotic is compared to open. However, when you compare robotic to VATS, there is a tendency of reduction in mortality, length of stay, overall complications, but there is no statistical significance. So it does not appear that robotic and VATS is very different. learning curve appears to be a little bit different when you look at the publications. And this study looked at the competency or proficiency of doing a VATS lobectomy and robotic lobectomy and how many number of operations are required to achieve proficiency. And this showed that robotic lobectomies, usually within 18 or 20 procedures, are only required to achieve proficiency compared to a VATS approach. We have also looked at our data in our experience in Toronto and Hamilton. We've looked at around 150 patients, and that data will be presented by Dr. Hanna at the CATS meeting. But it appears that the three surgeons that were involved do have a very high learning curve. I think the main problem of using this big robotic platform is the cost and potentially the operation time. And this looked at the comparison of a robotic versus VATS, lobectomy and wedge resections. And the conclusion was that robotic costs more and robotic takes more time than a VATS surgery. Some of the advantages of the robotic surgery is the 3D and high definition vision, high magnification. You don't have to rely on your own hand, improved surgeon ergonomics. And what I found is that although you can't really feel what you're doing, the imaging is so well that you can almost feel like you feel everything. The disadvantages of the robotic surgery, again, is the lack of haptic and tactile feedback. And typically, the surgeon is sitting on the console. If something happens, the surgeon has to scrub in. Fortunately, we have not had any disasters at Toronto General Hospital. And I think the cost and the setup time for this. So to summarize, robotic lung cancer resection appears to offer comparable radicality and safety to VATS and to open surgery. The intuitive movements, greater flexibility, and the 3D high-definition vision allows surgeon to perform surgery easier with a shorter learning curve compared to VATS. The high capital and running costs and the limited instrument availability and potentially the long OR times are probably the important disadvantages.
Thank you, Dr. Yasufuku. For information about the next Toronto Thoracic Refresher, visit torontothoracicrefresher.ca.